Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Welcome back, everybody, to In the Open. I'm here with America.
Hi, everybody. What's up, everybody?
Today, we're going to talk about how we can learn to love ourselves.
I think out of all of the things that we talk about all the time, whether it's setting boundaries, identifying the things that upset us, learning how to work through our traumas, dealing with day-to-day stuff, all of that centers in this main topic. It is learning how to feel better about ourselves and how to love ourselves in a way that is, you know, doing honor to who you are as a person, dude. I think that's so important.
You're going to have to really lead this conversation because I can tell you in self-reflection, you know how the things you struggle with are the things you either feel confident about and kind of jump into versus like you run away from and avoid?
Yeah.
So this topic, I could tell even when I'm with my friends and people are like, I'm learning to love myself. Like, I'm just like, okay, good job. Good job with that. Go you.
I feel like it's a little like hippie, you know, to like think about this idea of like self-love and what that means, you know. And I totally get you. I know that I have to kind of lead you down this path of understanding why this is necessary.
No, but just even talking about it, I can tell like my avoidance radar is like super hardcore, right? I could tell.
So let me ask you, why do you feel that? I imagine I know the answer. And I would imagine if folks have been listening for a while, they kind of get the gist of who you are too. But tell us. What's happening to you right now?
The depression and the anxiety, like I am so comfortable living in perpetual self-hatred that the mere thought of self-love is both repulsive or painful. So I can tell I'm running away. But, you know, I can say to you, like, today I love myself more than I did before. But if you were like, Teresa, do you love yourself? I cannot say that I wouldn't turn that into a joke inside my head and basically have a show of Big Mouth to basically deflect and avoid actually answering that question. That's what's happening.
And I would imagine that for a lot of people, that's where people are at. This concept is very uncomfortable to think about because it requires you to do some work and to really dig into like the monsters that exist inside yourself that you're just like, why do you just pop up all the time? But that's what therapy is. That's like the work that you do like with a mental health person, with a mental health professional. They help you understand why it is that you struggle with all these areas. But
understand that like the spectrum of self-love starts with, let me stop actively hurting myself and people around me.
Yes.
And like somewhere in the middle is where I'm at, maybe a little more towards self-love where it's like, okay, I'm not actively hurting myself, but I'm at a place of baseline, which feels like that, like avoidance and not hurting myself. But how much do I actually love myself? Mm-hmm. It feels foreign still, right? And yeah. I would say a lot of the progress in therapy has been to get from horrible self-destruction or whatever to here, which is mm-hmm. way more functional than where I could be or what, like sometimes watching other people who love themselves, I'm just like, that's either fake, like you're a faker. Nobody talks like that. You're a faker. That's sometimes what I think. In mental illnesses, sometimes we have these moments where we're like, oh, that's normal. That's how normal people feel. Like they actually feel something that feels like self-love. And you're like, what?
Something you said is very important, especially this idea of where you were in the beginning and where you are today. I want to stick on that for a second because it's talking about the existence of a spectrum, right? Nothing just happens and it's like, I'm all in. Life is going to be fabulous tomorrow and the day is going to be better. It doesn't occur that way. It's not a movie. Even in the movies, there's a progression where you get to that point.
Yeah.
And even in the worst movies, that only happens when you've had some sort of like break and you're like, oh, reality is now what I've made. And it's like, no. This idea of self-love is tied to the connection that exists between whatever the destructive behaviors that you may have, the destructive intrusive thoughts that you have, the negative coping skills that you've taken. You're working to address those so that you get to a better place of saying, I am worthy of whatever it is that I'm asking for. And that is the self-love concept for me.
Wow. It's really helping me remember that, like, the last time I came out of a really bad depressed episode, one of the things I was finally able to do was I got really interested in makeup.
You did tell me that.
So tell me if this is what it means. Like, tell me. I'm going to tell you what I feel like I think is happening, and you just tell me if this is real or not real.
Okay.
So when I was super depressed, I was just laying in bed and like scrolling through videos or whatever. And like one of the things I found, don't laugh at me, okay? was that I super got obsessed with watching people do makeup tutorials, and I like never wear makeup. So that's like so not me, right? But whatever, I was like super interested all of a sudden in watching these makeup tutorials while I was depressed. I think one of the things that started it was also that this woman I watched does makeup and murder mystery, which I think was hilarious.
Okay.
So I would like feed the depression and the self-loathing while listening to murder while also watching her do her makeup. And I was like, oh, she's really good at this. Like, oh, people look really good with makeup. And I started looking at makeup and I found other people who did makeup stuff. And I was like, oh, it's like started to go buy makeup. And I was like, oh, practicing, you know, along with like practicing showering, I was like practicing putting on makeup that didn't make me look like I just got punched or something. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember last year, 2020, the last time I saw you in person, I put makeup on, and that was when Michael King came in and he said, hey, did something happen to your face?
Are you serious? I didn't know that, or did I?
No, he totally was like, oh my God, are you okay? Did something happen to your face? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so devastated right now. Why do I even try?
And what did you say to him? Did you say anything?
I just started to cry inside. I was like, I am never wearing makeup again. I just look like I got punched in the face.
I don't remember you looking like
I think I went to go clean good. My face. I was like, oh my God.
There is something so normal about what you have talked about. Not even something. Like the whole thing is normal because part of, I think, our just like general existence, when you're stuck in like the rabbit hole of watching video after video of whatever it is that you like, it brings some sort of happiness to you. Like sometimes I watch like doggy videos because I love doggy videos, right? Mm-hmm. Or the fail videos where people fall or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
And they just crack me up because that could happen to anybody, you know. But the idea of like makeup, I just had one of my girlfriends, you know, she had someone in the best place and she went to buy new lipstick and she was like, check me out. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. That one, you look fabulous. But I was like, new lipstick and new something does something to your mentality around how to feel better about yourself. And I think part of that is so tied to our internal workings trying to feel better. It's like, yeah. I gotta let my external match something. Yeah. Give me something.
Like the image that you see of yourself.
Yes.
There's an incongruency there. There's like a mismatch of like, yeah.
Yeah, totally, dude. And it's also something like, it's not just tied to anything that's gender specific either, you know? It's this idea like when you feel
but that's part of it for people who are trans. Like it's true. Horribly distressing for them to see their reflection and say, this doesn't look like who I feel like I am inside. I think that's actually super relatable.
Where I was going was like it doesn't have to be like focused on makeup or mm-hmm. focused on the clothing that you wear, you know, but in many cases those small aspects may help us feel truer to the internal workings of who we're trying to be, who we're trying to really personify, right?
Yeah. It's interesting that you're saying like who I'm trying to be. Because when I look at makeup videos or like person on TikTok was like, you know, practicing 100 days of positivity, like hardcore. And she literally, I think, started to put clothes on to just, I don't know if it's what she felt like was herself and her identity, but I also could think of like, I'm going to put on something totally radical that I would not wear to force myself out of the space that I'm comfortable in to move towards like a push to feel different and better.
What I tie it to is like this idea. Also, like a lot of people may not be going out into like society as regularly as we are, right? And so like you're chilling at home with your sweatpants and a t-shirt. That's just the norm. But I've seen two things happen. One, some memes are also like, I can't believe that I've left the house like this, but whatever. It's COVID. It doesn't even matter, right? And then you have other people are like, oh, you have to look better, you know, dress up, put on your normal clothes and to feel better. And I'm like, but isn't that being disingenuous to what I actually feel like? And then the other side of me is like, but it might make you feel better. So I'm like, oh man, maybe I should actually put on a clean shirt. I could maybe put on jeans. I should maybe put on pants that actually have pockets, you know, like... All of these things are tied to this idea of how you find yourself in this place of not so much negativity, but maybe like you're just, you know, you're not feeling yourself and your entire wholeness to be like, I'm going to rock it because I'm just going to rock it. And that's the place where I want people to get to. You got to rock it and own it that you're going to be like fabulous.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
There's something here where I can get behind feeling confident. Feeling self-love makes me feel confident. Like I'm proud of who I am. I like who I am. I squash some of those thoughts about self-hatred. So enough to let myself feel good.
Yes.
That's definitely what I want. I feel better when I'm in that space. It's totally true. But like, I can feel confident, but do I feel, are they the same? Is self-confidence the same as self-love?
I would say like confidence is like a cousin to self-love.
Okay, so it's what's self-love?
Self-love is you finding worth in your person and valuing that. So that's why I'm saying it's a cousin, right? It's not necessarily tied to, oh, look, I'm a great reader. And now I love that part about myself. That's like a hobby that you have. It's more about, if you think about it, like, let's do some homework. I'm going to throw some homework at you right now, Teresa.
Okay.
Tell me two things that you really love about yourself.
My dark ass sense of humor.
Okay.
I work hard.
Okay.
See, the problem with that is that they're the things I do. Who, yes. I am. I don't know. I'm a 40-year-old woman who still doesn't know who I am.
Yeah. You use your dark sense of humor to help you deal with everything that is makes you uncomfortable. And
oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's basically who I am, though. I just love that person because they are so protective.
Okay. But see, that's a good thing because once you come to understand that, you've identified something that is a core aspect of who you are. You have identified something that is very useful to you.
Uh-huh.
And because you have that dark sense of humor, it allows for other people to then also approach you and be like, oh, she's totally going to get this because she has this thing about her that she gets it. But that's tied to your idea of self-love too, because you recognize that it's something good. It's a worthy thing that's in existence.
I do feel comfortable and I'm laughing right now inside, not outside. So that must be a sign that I do like this part of my personality. I would not get rid of it.
Yeah. That's a major thing. That's why I think it's not so foreign. It's not like this thing that should scare people when you think about what do I really love about myself and how do I get better at recognizing these things? Because we've been taught in so many ways that it has to look a certain way. If it's not done in this way, then it can't be self-love, you know?
I do think we have been unconsciously trained by videos and commercials and now social media to have this unreachable expectation about what your life is supposed to look like. And even in a healthy mind that has barriers or wards against that crap, it's hard not to give in and feed that feeling that something's not quite complete or you haven't quite attained to that self-love. Because as long as I was alive, I just can think of ways that commercials were telling you that
you have to achieve more. You got to work harder.
Buy this or do this or whatever, and see, you know?
The way that I kind of think about all of this too is it's very much tied to a process of breaking things down to a place where you're able to recognize how all of these aspects of our environment impact our thinking. Because when you do see this as a foreign concept, you're automatically going to turn and be like, well, there's nothing good. There's nothing good here. Look, I've got so much more to do. I could have been done this to feel better. I should have started this a year ago. But that's not where we're at. My focus today is think about two things that you really can say you love about yourself. I can do that.
Okay, do it.
What I really love about myself is that I take time to really... And sometimes it's that overthinking, right? But it's part of who I am that I want to be able to understand my thoughts so that I can help other people understand theirs.
Okay.
Part of, I guess, that's the empathy piece that I really like. I'm empathetic to that.
Okay.
The other one I would say that I love about myself is I can be hard on myself, but I know that I can attain the goals that I've set. Mm. So I'm a hard worker.
Okay, so we're both hard workers. We appreciate that we're both hard workers. Then I can say, we should turn this into like a task, practicing like things like you, self-love. I love that I am curious.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I love that. I totally love that. You know why I love that, Teresa? Because your curiosity and my curiosity feed one another. Because we're just like, wait, why is that? Why is this? And that is so important when you start thinking about the stuff that really could make a difference.
Right. Knowing parts of who you are and who your identity are that you like, that you feel proud of, that you want to invest in. I think with a lot of self-love, it's a real challenge because you are struggling both with your mind space and your imagery space. And when you have an imagery space combined with your mind space, it's like overload. It's like too much for me to look at it. It's too much for me to look at a video recording. And I honestly don't mind doing things like webinars, you know, like our trainings or something. I've done them, you know, but I have to pretend that I'm talking to nobody.
Yeah. You're playing mind tricks.
It does feel like overload. This is the problem. It's just like, it's a thing that when it happens, the voice that I've worked so hard to tamper down, it just so readily comes back, right? That becomes an extra barrier. And I will tell you, like, if I do the video thing as an example, but then I'm also in a situation where I have confrontation.
Yeah, you shut down.
Like I have to fight, like in a lawsuit or if I'm going to court. Forget it, dude. That's so stressful. Okay. Or what's another example? I gotta
go. That's not just you,
though.
I
gotta go to a meeting to like ask for a raise or my review. Like, forget it.
No, all those things, babe, all those things are so valid. It's not like they are out of the box. Those are so normal.
So that's just fear.
Yes. But that's fear tied to vulnerability because you're putting yourself out there in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Like, how does self-love come into the mix? Like, is it just fear and I just need to practice it and one day I'll be fine? Or do I have to work on seeing myself or my strengths and being like, get up there and just do it? And then I watch other people do it. I'm like, what is it they have in themselves?
Yeah. Part of it is, you know, this is a theme we're going to talk about like during Mental Health Month, but it's like this idea of the radical acceptance, right? like, you can't change it. You can't change how people may have ideas about you. Nothing. You're coming in and you're going to grin and just be like, I want to just do it. And that's really often where I come from. You know, it's just like, I'm just going to do it. Even if I feel like scared, I don't even know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to go and do it, because if I don't, then I will never know what happened. So it's like a natural progression that has to happen, but it's not something that occurs instantaneously. That's what I'm saying. When you're talking about these aspects of yourself that you don't want to look at yourself on video and things like that, but you can do these webinars and you're playing these mind tricks, that's all they are. They're mind tricks in how you're going to be received by the other people that you're engaging with. So they're just people. Imagine how they feel if they were in the same situation. I would be scared. I'd be like, what? Do I say anything that makes sense? Have I done something that is important? I don't think so. And you question everything that you've ever done in your existence.
Yeah. So like, I have spent more time unpacking my anxiety than I have unpacking my depression. But that's because I feel more anxiety all the time and have learned to live functionally with anxiety. Whereas depression, when it comes, it still like hits me hard, and then I try to figure it out. And then when it's done, I try to run away and avoid it. So that's why, like, if I think about like going in front of something or doing something that scares me, and I frame that in terms of my anxiety and fear, I'm better able to understand it. But when I talk about not wanting to do something because I literally don't like the look of my face, That feeling underneath all that stuff is more foreign to me than the one that's just like, oh, this is scary and feels unsafe, and that's why I don't want to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But I wonder too, so you have to tell me, have you ever actually talked about these types of feelings with your therapist? Or is it that you then, the thing that you're like engaging with is the feeling of depression or anxiety, and it does become like secondary because your primary thing is, oh, I'm losing it.
I mean, I do think that that's why it's hard to unpack, because in therapy, your therapist will only unpack the things that you bring to the table. So I've had other more important things to take care of. Self-love has never entered into the conversation because it's so wrapped up in all the other stuff, you know, like, or maybe that's part of like where my misconception is with self-love, because I have other things to unpack related to whatever, that the question of, do you love the way you look, or do you feel confident and know who you are as part of your self-identity, I feel like it's something that we've touched on, but never just go all in with, you know? So you're right. Yes, no, I've not brought it up.
Let me ask you another thing, okay? And this is kind of like conceptualizing what self-love is. So self-love can really look like you finding things that you really love about yourself. That's one. I also think that there is a necessity to put yourself first, and that speaks about your worth, right? So where, like we've talked about toxic relationships and things like that in the past, if you don't love yourself enough, there's something that's tying you to these experiences where you're accepting that somebody is treating you in a way that you believe you shouldn't be treated, but you can't be like, no.
Whoa. For sure. So if you frame it that way, I'm like on the spectrums of self-love.
Okay.
Okay. I had a whole thing in my 20s where I was like, I need to stop being in relationship with people because it was so toxic.
Yeah. What did you call it? Your sabbatical? Is that what you called it?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. My sabbatical, my romance sabbatical, where I did learn to love myself enough where part of who I surround myself with, who I'm in relationship with, both friends and relationships, romantic relationships, needed to be certain things. Safe, trustworthy, totally. Loyal. And that's definitely tied to self-love, because I had to make a commitment to myself. Like, you are no longer allowing yourself to be hurt. that was the transition from like horrible destruction to where I am today, where it was like, okay, I love myself enough that I deserve good relationships. I deserve good and healthy relationships. And I guess I'm like, okay, did I do like a misconception thing where I'm like, well, I do love myself, but then I've spent the next 15 years basically telling myself that I didn't love myself.
Yes, dude. Yes. To all of that, man. It's a process, dude, because where you started identifying things that did not work for you, they were not good in terms of who you are as a person, and you said, no, these things don't belong in my space, that's totally an act of self-love. And then where you're talking about, like, are you able to attain this vision that exists in your head of what it's like to be a perfect mom? It's like, there's no perfection, dude.
I don't want to be a perfect mom.
But you want to be whatever good, whatever exists in your head.
I want to stop thinking or feeling like I'm a bad mom all the time.
Then that's part of the process in understanding why it is that you have come to understand that you've landed in that space right now. So you got to do the work to get you to the next phase to be like, I'm not as bad as I thought. That's self-love.
See, I feel like self-love, or like that part of self-actualization, is not when I stop feeling like I'm a bad mom. It's like when I every day look at myself and I think, I am such an awesome mom.
That I would say gets to like further down the line, because it takes work for you to get to this place. Sometimes I think, I'm awesome. You rock. I told you that. I've told people that, you know, on the podcast, they've heard that. Even if I don't believe it all the time, but I know that I'm a good person. Damn it, I know that I'm a good person.
I am. I will say, just talking about this in this way, and maybe that's all it takes, makes me feel emotionally more open to myself to say, I am good. I am curious.
But part of that, right, is getting to this place of, yeah, dude, there's good things about me. Even as much crap as I talk about myself, you know,
yeah,
there are good things. And it ties to this practice that has to happen. So I would say for folks that are in a place where you've been, you know, you're like, oh, I don't even know if I'm in it. Do I really love myself? I don't think so. But you're like, wait, did I actually show some self-love there? You gotta practice it.
I think what I really take away from this is, I like your question. Just taking some time to actively think, what are two things that you love about yourself? And maybe making that a practice, like every day, you know, because you do a lot of gratefulness work or gratitude work where you're like, tell me a couple things that you're grateful for today. But if you don't do that about yourself and like two things that you love about yourself, then you're not practicing acknowledgement of self, seeing yourself for who you are and the good sides. And then you over practice seeing the critical sides, and which is so comfortable and so easy.
Totally.
And you have to do what you and I did, where it's like, no, just don't just be like, oh, well, I love that I made this awesome cup of coffee. That's like cheating. Are you a
good
cook?
It'd be different if you were like, yeah, I learned how to make coffee from scratch.
I love that I learned how to shower. No, I think there's an art to it. Kind of like identifying feelings and taking that time to identify your feelings. You have to identify self-identity qualities, and that's a practice too. It can't just be something that's tied to someone else. Like, I love that my husband loves me. That's not self-love.
You know, I would close out on this. Sometimes, because it is hard for us to see the things that we may love about ourselves, you can ask other people, what do you love about me? And dude, I've done that in different spaces. And the things that I hear, I'm like, really? And I've never heard that. I've never heard that from myself.
Okay, that's interesting. Because my husband does this, because his love language is words of affirmation, which is my last one. So he will say things like, oh, I love this about you, or something like that. And every time he does that, I want to vomit. But I don't know. Sometimes I hear him, and because I don't have a practice of having words of affirmation, I dismiss the things he says, which mm-hmm. I think are super tied to my self-love. I think that I will probably learn to accept the things that he loves about me if I did practice self words of affirmation.
Yeah. Sometimes what I think about is like little kids, you know, that they'll be like, well, I'm going to do X thing. It's like, oh, well, you can't do that. And they'll be like, why not? I can be an astronaut. And be like, well, actually, it would take a lot of money. You got to go to college. You know, you can put all these barriers or whatever. And then they're like, huh? But I can totally be it. And that true, like, innocence of just being like, hells yeah, man, I can do it. That's where I hope people get to.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right.
We're going to talk to you next week. And have a good one.